Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. And verse 11, for it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that are the contentions, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you, but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. And I baptized also the house of Stephanus, besides I know not whether I baptize any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. We've been over the scripture, and a big part of this is, you know, sometimes you think about this when you go to other churches, and we visit other churches, and we have camps, and people come together. You know, and that, I think that those types of things, when we gather together, we have meetings and things like that, are a good thing in God's eyes, because, you know, even here, and then they're not having meetings necessarily, but they're just within Corinth, people are, you know, disagreeing on this and that, and they're splitting between these different doctrines, and yet, you know, we look today and we're able to come together. We can go to camps, we can visit different churches, go to different places, and we all believe the same thing, at least for the most part, and just being able to fellowship and commune with people from different churches and different areas of the state, even people from different countries. We can all get together and just fellowship as brothers and sisters. And that's what's kind of lacking in the church where Paul is writing to, or the churches where you know, that they're getting more caught up on the wrong things, is in the people who baptize them, the ministers, who their favorite minister is, or whatever the case may be. They're more focused on, you know, maybe how nice the church is, or who's preaching there, as opposed to if God is in the church or not, and if God is in the people in the church. So I'm just grateful that, you know, that there's many churches and places we can visit, and we all believe the same thing, and we can all just be brothers and sisters and commune together peacefully. In verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And the foolishness of preaching is so many things, but God has always worked that way. He's always worked, you know, in situations that might seem odd. You know, even with Moses and the bulrush, and how, you know, his mother, you know, pushed him through the bulrush, and then to avoid all the, you know, the dangers that could be in there, and then for him to be adopted by, you know, Pharaoh, and to come up the way he did, and then to kill someone, and then have all these things happen in his life, and then for him to flee. And it always puzzles people, because, you know, we as people, we expect things to be, everything to be done according to a certain way, everything to be done right. But when Moses kills someone, you know, he leaves, and then he comes back, and he says he has a message from God. It's very confusing to the people who are there, because, I mean, even if we were to see someone who were to kill someone, maybe had a criminal background or history, and then they come and decide they want to preach the word, well, we'd all have questions, because, you know, that's in our humanity. You know, we would question those things, and we'd wonder, you know, what's behind that. But God works in his own way, in ways that we don't understand. The things that are foolish to us, things that seem odd to us, things that seem out of place or a little weird, you know, God will use those things to bring a message forth. So that's why, you know, I think even Brother Bob has preached a message on this, where he's talking about, you know, God's not looking for goody two-shoes. He's not looking for, you know, the perfect people, but he's looking for someone who would just surrender themselves. You know, and there's many people who maybe, you know, sometimes you hear the testimonies of people and the places they were in and the terrible things that, you know, they were a part of, and how God brought them out of those things. And you know, in our humanity, if we were to see them, you know, in that state, we would maybe judge them harshly or think, you know, not think very good things about them, but not realizing that God can, you know, use that to get them through that situation, so that then they can, when they have an experience, they can then minister to people who struggle with those things. And you see that a lot in ministry when people, you know, who struggle with certain spirits and throughout their lives, and then they get healed and delivered, and then they can, you know, really talk to the people about it and minister to the people who are struggling with those exact things. Because, you know, once they know what it's like to be in that position, then it's easier to minister to people who are struggling with that same thing. Once you've overcome, then you can minister to those, you know, who are struggling to overcome. So sometimes God will use things like that and use bad situations in people's lives and all these different things to try and, you know, just to because that person has a surrendered heart. And sometimes that teaches us a lesson that, you know, it's not our acts, it's not our works. And we think that, well, we go to church every Sunday and we dress modestly and we do these things. But if our heart isn't changed on the inside, then it doesn't really matter. And there could be someone who did way worse things than we've ever done, and yet when they come to the Lord, their heart is fully sincere, and they receive more than we do, because, you know, we just don't accept it the way we're supposed to. And even Brother Branham would talk about people, sinners, who were hardly even believers, could come to his messages, and they could receive a healing faster than a believer could, because they just accepted it right away. And maybe the believer had more doubts than the non-believer at some points. So it's always important for us to be cautious of our heart, cautious of our motives, cautious of, you know, our sincerity, and how much are we truly surrendering? How much are we truly, you know, accepting the word of God? Because we hear these things and sometimes we don't really, you know, hold on to them the way we should. We don't believe them like we should. We don't, you know, read our Bible like we should. We don't study like we should. And then we get doubts because of that. We get, you know, frustrations or things happen where, you know, we think, oh, I haven't been reading my Bible the way I should. I haven't been doing this. I haven't been doing that. And you feel like, you know, you start to doubt yourself and doubt if you can receive something. Whereas someone else who just surrenders their heart and just believes it no matter what can just get it right there. So these different situations where, you know, sometimes people who seem off or seem troubled can actually receive something faster than we can. And we need to, you know, we need to understand, you know, what our privileges are. Brother Branham always says we're living way below our privileges. And even Brother Mike, the last Sunday, was talking about, you know, that quote where if I was at your table and you had, you know, mashed potatoes and green beans and pie, you know, and if you just let me sit at your table, I'm welcome to everything. I'm not just the mashed potatoes or not just the green beans, but the potatoes, the greens, the pie, everything. You know, you're welcome to everything. And that's how God is. He wants us to go to where He is and just ask for anything. And whatever, you know, is promised to us in the Bible, we need to accept that and go with that. And that's our issue a lot of times, is we look too much at the natural things. We look too much, you know, at the worldly things and what we think is wisdom. And truly God has switched the two in a lot of instances where things that look foolish. Like, you know, if in our conception, you know, we wouldn't have a murderer, you know, carry our word out. Or if we had a message, we wouldn't give our message to a drunk like Noah or someone, you know, a murderer like David, someone who killed, you know, their friend and then committed adultery with their wife. We wouldn't pick that person, you know. And the Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. So sometimes the way we see things is not the way that God sees things, and we need to yield our perceptions to how God perceives things, and how God, you know, because it says God can see the heart of men, and we can't see the heart of men the same way God does. So we need to sometimes yield our judgments or hold off on our judgments and just try and recognize sometimes what God might be trying to do through somebody's life, and just pray for them and just trying to see things through God's eyes and not to be too critical all the time. And be humble to receiving a message from anybody, because God can use anybody to condemn you or give you a message or to correct you and put you back on the right path. And not to think that, well, if that person says it, then I don't have to listen to it. But no matter where the truth comes from, you have to listen to it. Whether if it's true, then you have to listen to it. Even if it comes from a drunk like Noah or a murderer like Moses. If it's God's word, we have to listen to it. And verse 22, for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews, a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. And Brother Branham said, and once again, in God hiding himself in simplicity, talks about, now these people there, oh, they had to wash their pots and kettles and wash before eating and all these regular traditions they go through. But Jesus condemned them all and set them aside and told them they were devils. Could you think of such a thing? Do you believe he would do the same thing in the churches today? He most certainly would. We wound ourselves around traditions and things until we got ourselves in the same mess we was then. And now when God displays himself in simplicity, then they don't recognize it. It's all above their way of thinking. They got it all fixed up the way that they think it ought to be. And if it doesn't come that way, they won't receive it. That's the only way. That's what's always been the trouble. Remember, the way up is down, and that's right. He that humbles himself shall be exalted. So even in Jesus' day when he came, you know, they wanted him to come a certain way. They expected him to come a certain way. And similar to the Moses and Noah and David, you know, stories, it's not always going to come the way that people expect. It's not going to come in the lavish way that, you know, your expectation, you expect it to. But it's going to come the way God wants to bring it forth. And if you're just humble enough to receive it however God gives it to you, then you'll be in a much better spot. The issue was they have their own way of thinking. You know, they thought, well, the scripture says this and the scripture says that. And yet, you know, when God interprets scripture, he manifests it. So the way we think a scripture should be brought forth is not necessarily the way God's going to bring it forth. But if we can be humble and realize, you know, however it comes, you know, if it's true, if it lines up with the word, we just need to accept it. And Brother Branham says, how do you know whether it's which is up and down? If the world is standing in space, is the North Pole up or the South Pole up? Which one is it, see? And you say, oh, the morning star and the evening star is both the same star, see? The same light was given in the morning is the same evening star. The world just turned around, that's all, see? So it's not so complicated after all. It's just simple. Faith to believe God. Notice the way he said, up is down. Now I want to ask you a question, brethren and sisters. If God let this happen because of Eve, disbelieved one little phase of the word and caused humanity to get down in its place it's in, do you think we'll ever get back disbelieving any phase of it? Think of it. If God could see little babies suffering wars and troubles, famine and starvation, sickness and murder, and all those things has taken place, all because one little phase of his word was doubted. That's also the danger. That's what we need to focus on because if the reason we're here is because of the doubt that was put into the word, that when Eve heard the word of God, she doubted it and she believed what someone else had to say. And our way to get back, you know, to that state, to that communion with God, to heaven, to just living with him and living with each other and living with our brothers and sisters, is going to be through believing every single word, through living every single word, through, you know, receiving the new birth and then climbing up the stature of a perfect man and doing everything according to what the scripture says and living by it. So, you know, people who would like to maybe sometimes interpret the Bible for their own means there's always those different, you know, denominations or sects of Christians who will... They'll believe so much, and then they'll have this one scripture they don't agree with, and then they'll put that aside. But we can't live like that according to God. We have to believe the whole truth, the whole Bible. And if we're off just a little step, you know, that's what got Eve off in the garden. So sometimes people will think, oh, I just don't see how that person could be forgiven, or that person's evil. And but it's not our choice. It's not our place to make judgments about whether someone is evil or not. But it's God, because what God can do in their hearts, we don't know. We don't know what God can do in their hearts. And sometimes you see people in not very good positions, and maybe someone who's homeless, or maybe someone who's addicted to something, or maybe someone who just doesn't believe, doesn't go to church, or maybe someone who does go to church and then, you know, contradicts the Bible in some of the ways they live, but it's not our way. We just pray for them. Your brother Branham said, you know, if you think someone's off, you know, don't be too harsh, don't yell at them, but just pray for them and pray that God gets them through that. But either our reaction and our response should always be love, should always be prayer, and just praying that God reveals something to them. It shouldn't be, you know, sometimes people get a vengeful spirit where they want someone to get what's coming to them, and then they have this feeling that, well, they did that, so they better get what's coming to them. But really, we should pray that everyone receives the same grace that we've received, because, you know, in all honesty, we should have got what's coming to us, but then God, Jesus made a sacrifice so that we wouldn't have to, so that, you know, he died for our sins, that we wouldn't have to die, because the consequence of sin is death. So, you know, we can't then turn around and look at other people and say, well, they need to get what's coming to them, and they need to learn a lesson, and they need this. But really, they just need the same grace that we received when we came to the Lord. And they need the same prayers that we had, you know, from our parents, or from whoever, you know, was praying for us, or whoever was there for us, or like a minister who just preached across the pulpit and wanted people to receive the word. We just need to pray for that same grace for them that we receive. So it should never be a competition. We should never be vengeful. We should never, we get upset in our humanity, but at the end of the day, you know, we're supposed to pray for those who despitefully use us. We're supposed to pray for our enemies, to love our enemies as well as we love our neighbors and as we love ourselves, you know, so all those things. So our response should always be love. Our response should never be vengeful or hate, or even if people get on our nerves or annoy us, you know, sometimes we just stop and think about, you know, how God would want you to react in the situation. Or people have that phrase, you know, what would Jesus do in this situation? So sometimes just stop and think before you react, and just think about, you know, the will of the Lord and what the Bible says about, and you know, I think that would save a lot of trouble if people, every time they got, you know, upset maybe or mad at someone, they just thought about, you know, what does the scripture say about this? If I'm upset with someone, or if, you know, someone's not cooperating with me, or someone just gets me upset whenever I talk to them, you know, what does the scripture say about this? And I think if we look there, we'd have a lot less problems. Brother Branham continues to say, notice now we find that Satan, that great agent, he only was able to get the church the first time by making them accept his wisdom of the world and get away from common faith that God told them to have in his word. That was his first program. He succeeded there, and there is where he's done it. Every time, oh, if we could only see that that's it. And when he can get you from behind the word, that's all he has to do. You're in his hands right then. Notice, just believe his word and live. Now, do you think they receive it? No, because it was too simple. If it wasn't been so simple, they would have received it. If it had been some great something, you told them how to build a pyramid that was greater than the ones they had already built and so forth, they might have received it. But he sent a simple man with a message that it's going to rain. That didn't mean their scientific education, why they could shoot to the skies with a radar or something and prove there's no water up there. So it's not by proof, it's not by science, it's by, you know, what God says it's going to be, regardless of our own thoughts about it, our own feelings about it, how we think it should come, whether, you know, the person who's speaking on it is a credible source, but if they're following the word of God, then we have to, you know, surrender and maybe seek things in prayer to see if that's the will of God in our lives. And that goes back to the scripture of how, you know, the foolish things of men. And Brother Branham's talking about how, because it was so simple, they, you know, they wouldn't believe it. It was because of the simplicity, because it wasn't something that maybe to them seemed so great in nature. Like he's saying that if he had told them how to build some great pyramids, then maybe they would have believed it. But because it didn't come, you know, in some very, you know, detailed scientific lecture, or it didn't come in some grand way, or it wasn't some grand ceremony where Noah had to introduce this, but it was just him saying that it's going to rain, and him building an ark and everyone thinking he was crazy, but once it rained, you know, They realized he wasn't crazy. They realized he had the word of God. That's what he was trying to give them. They realized he was trying to save them. And unfortunately for them, it was too late. And I encourage that, you know, all of us should kind of be maybe sometimes seen as crazy, because we're trying to, you know, get people to understand the word. We're trying to get people to, hopefully we live a life in front of them that encourages them to want to live the word. Because the biggest thing I think that that helps people is to see an example of someone living the word. To see, and that's why I think it's good to have, it's a benefit to have people, spirit-filled parents, people, parents who believe, parents who will teach you to pray, parents who will take you to church and all these different things. Because it's such a benefit to have someone in the house that, you know, lives the word in front of you, and even have a church that, you know, lives according to the word. And that's when Brother Dale, you know, dedicates a baby, he dedicates, you know, the church as well, to live in front of that person so that they can, you know, receive something. And even us, you know, even if for young people, we need to live, you know, according to the scriptures and live in a way that other people can see that, you know, we're living and we're satisfied in Christ. And we're not seeking the pleasures of the world. We're not seeking those outward things, but we're satisfied in Christ and going to church and reading our Bible, and those things satisfy us. And not, you know, going out and partying or doing what we want or doing drugs or whatever it could be, or even just being a non-believer. But hopefully we're living in a way that other people can see, you know, that the benefits of walking a spirit-filled life. And sometimes that simplicity is what will help people. Even if sometimes the simplicity baffles people, I think that's what will help people, is if they see someone living in front of them. So God bless you. Dismissed.